We're going to be in primarily Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 1, the first psalm. And then it's interesting parallel in Jeremiah chapter 17. So I'm going to kind of read a good little chunk of scripture here, and we'll spend some time sitting in it. Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And then very interestingly, almost a parallel in Jeremiah 17, this is God speaking now directly and talking again about this, the blessed life. The blessed life as opposed to the cursed life. And in an invitation God is giving, similar to one in Deuteronomy, God's basically saying, choose life. I set before you life and death. Choose life. The life in God is the blessed life. Apart from God, it's the cursed life. And that's a weird word. We don't use that word cursed very often. We think of like a voodoo cursed. It's not what this is talking about. It's just the contrast of the reality of living life outside of God's presence, God's goodness, God's blessing is a curse compared to the goodness when we're standing under the waterfall of God's favor, of God's grace, of his love, his compassion, his mercy that's new every day. The goodness that pursues us, the mercy that pursues us, like Psalm 23:5 says, surely your goodness and mercy follow us every day of our life. So what does it look like to live a life where the goodness of God is actually following you? It's coming after you. It's hounding you. That's an accurate translation of that word in Hebrew. Follow is hound. God's goodness hounds us. That's a blessed life when we're living under that waterfall of goodness. So this passage in Jeremiah 17 is really about that invitation. What are we going to choose? Are we going to choose that blessed life with God? And so Jeremiah 17, 5 to 8, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. These two passages are obviously very similar. They have this metaphor, this picture of our life with God. As spiritual beings, we are unavoidably in a relationship with God. It might be a really bad one where we've really walked so far from God that God could describe that life as cursed, like a desert wasteland. It's bearing no fruit. It has no good roots. It just gets tossed and fro by the seasonal elements. It just gets smashed and burned and like a wasteland. It just can get just barren. God says that can be your life. Or you can be like this tree. That's supposed to be us, just so you're following. We are the tree. Our life can be like the tree planted by the stream of living water. And the main point of this is so that our lives can live above the circumstances. That circumstances aren't what dictate our life. So when things are nice and easy and everything goes the way we want, then we're nice. Then we've got joy. Then we've got peace. Then, yeah, life is good. What about when the heat comes? What about when the drought comes? And God is inviting us into a kind of life with Him that's able to laugh at the heat and laugh at the drought and still be a tree that is green and bearing good fruit in all seasons. That is incredible. That is impossible on our own strength. But that's what this passage is an invitation to. Living life above the circumstances, having good fruit above the circumstances, not having the circumstances own us, but so that we can be people planted in the river of living water so that we're strong, deep, unshakable, beautiful, fruit-bearing tree in all seasons. And the fruit that we're talking about here would be the fruit of the Spirit, authentic joy, deep, real peace, genuine love to share, hope for the future. All these gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, gifts from God that money cannot buy and circumstances often dictate, right? We're all happy when things go exactly how we want. We're all pretty nice if I have it my way. When things are how my plan, according to my plan, then I'm a pretty patient, kind, full of love person. But when the heat comes, who am I? And this invitation here, this passage is really a question about where do you draw strength? Really. Not in theory, but when the heat comes, and it will come because we live in a fallen and broken world, when the heat comes, where do you really draw strength? Who is your source, truly? Is it us? Do we look inside real quick? Do we go into self-preservation mode real quick, where we try to do it on our own strength? Where's our confidence when the heat comes? Is it in us? I can do this. This is where God's saying, cursed is the man who trusts in the Lord, or cursed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who draws strength from mere flesh. That's a heart turning away from God. See, this passage, these passages are going to take us to a place that says true strength is forged from authenticity. True strength emerges when we admit that we don't have the strength necessary. God is very clear to say, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh. That's a call to authenticity, because it's saying, if you think you can do it on your own, you're in trouble. Now, what's it? Life. If you think you can be the tree planted by the water, bearing good fruit in all seasons, prospering in whatever you do, green all the time, no matter the heat, no matter the drought, if you think you can do that, you're kidding yourself. God's saying, you will be like a desert wasteland. And so the irony of the passage, and which is the irony of the kingdom invitation to all of us, is that to feel our weakness is to be close to true strength. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. That is irony. That doesn't make sense. To be blessed because you're poor, you have nothing to offer, you know you can't do it, you know you don't have the spiritual strength, Jesus says, that's when you have the whole kingdom. The whole kingdom of heaven is yours. To feel our weakness, to feel that I can't make those leaves green, when the heat comes and it's hot, and the drought is real, and there's nothing in my circumstances that are looking good, I can't bear fruit. I can't bear good fruit. To feel that, God is saying, is to be close to truth strength. Because to feel that is to actually feel your authentic soul, which gives us the opportunity to have a true encounter with God. Because if we want to have a real encounter with God, which I hope is why we're all here today, and our hearts, when we wake up every morning, certainly not just about Sunday, it's about life, but to have a real encounter with God, a real relationship with God, to actually walk with God, you have to get real with God. That's what this passage is going for. It is challenging us. It is a strong word from the psalmist and from God himself to challenge us to not walk around as those posers that say, I got it, I can handle it, I can do it. That's what Psalm 1 is saying. That will lead us to a path of destruction. That's a strong language. And this is not just at the end of life. This is talking about watch your life get destroyed as you walk and try to do it on your own strength. Yeah, try to be your own tree. Try to be your own source. Try to produce your own fruit. Do it in your time, in your agenda, in your will, and watch destruction. Real words from the Lord. So to press into the reality that we are not strong enough on our own to be this beautiful, green, fruitful tree is to begin the path of being real. And it's in those moments of painful authenticity, when our roots are actually stretching out and reaching down into the soil to grab hold of God's living water. Jeremiah 17, 8 and 7. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree. Just look at this image. Think about your life. You will be like a tree planted by the water. So there's a river. You're planted on the side of it. It sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Beautiful image. But what does it take to get those roots to grow? It takes painful authenticity. It takes a reality check that I'm not strong enough to do this on my own. I know I'm made to bear good fruit. I want a life that bears good fruit. I don't want to be tossed and fro by the waves of life. I don't want to be scorched by the heat. I don't want to have brown, nasty branches when there's drought. I want to be able to have fruit all the time. For me, for others, for God. We all want that. And then this says, it's impossible on your own. But if you let your soul reach your roots down into the living water, it's not only possible, it's a promise. I was having a conversation the other day with a friend who showed this image so powerfully to me. I was talking to someone, they were just talking about life, and everybody's got their challenges, everybody's got their struggles in this particular situation. The person was just saying the reality of feeling lonely. But that God was doing something in that loneliness, because in the past they felt like it was just so easy to feel lonely but then distract themselves and forget about it. And we have lots of those options in the world, right? We live in a world where we don't have to feel anything. Man, you can boom, 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 boom. Feeling lonely, distraction. Depressed, drive-through. Anxious, call. I mean, just we have so much at our fingertips to immediately pass over the reality of our soul's painful authenticity. We can go our whole lives never being real. And I love the beauty of this moment this person was sharing, because they were saying for the first time, they were letting themselves feel this loneliness. and learning to take it to God with authenticity. I mean, who's going to be our source? Are we going to mask it over with some temporary thing that does not satisfy the soul because we're not made for it? It's not the fullness of God as our source? Or are we going to, in those moments of painful authenticity, be real? And this is just a beautiful moment as this person was sharing for the first time. They're choosing to not just distract and mask over and sweep it under the rug and pretend it doesn't exist as quick as possible, but take that to God. And as they were talking, I just had this picture of Jeremiah 17. This is the tree. This is what God's talking about. And it's in this painful authenticity and not running away from it that this person I could see was like, I'm seeing your this is your life. Your roots are stretching out right now. When you mask it over, you're not stretching your roots out. But in that painful authenticity, that's your soul crying out, I need you as my source, God. And if you let that ride, what's happening is that the roots of your soul are reaching out to grow deep into the soil and get really close to that water table beneath. And that's where we want to get. That's that picture. There is this river. We're a tree planted by it. We are made to have our roots grow down into so deep in the soil that we hit the water table and grab on. It's God truly being our source. It's the living water of God's presence and God's spirit with us and God's identity living that out so that what matters now? The circumstances are no longer what affects the tree. When you've got a young tree, it's got to have really nice circumstances if it's going to thrive, right? It needs water regularly. It needs not too much heat. Otherwise, it's going to dry up and it's going to crisp up and it's not going to have fruit because it's just pulling water right from the top. But that's this image. We're supposed to let our soul, in those moments of painful authenticity, cry out to God so that they go deep and, oh, whoa, I just hit it. I just hit living water. And that so then for the rest of our life, that's our source. So that when no water comes from the top and when it's blazing hot in our circumstances and there's a drought because things aren't happening like we want, we're not affected like we used to be because we're deep. We've hit the water table. We've hit the living water. Our roots are deep, authentic. And then surprisingly, miraculously, we can be a tree that stays green and bears fruit no matter what is happening up top. That is a promise. That is an invitation to be your life. I want to take us to one example of this in God's Word. There's a guy named Jacob. In Genesis chapter 32, there's a very weird story. I want to read it. Genesis 32, 22 to 28. This is a man, I believe, that is living life as a faker, a poser. He's trying to do a lot on his own strength. And God encounters him and challenges him and invites him into a moment of real authenticity. Actually sink his roots into something lasting and true, the true source of life. In Genesis 32, it says, Jacob took his family, so chapter 32, verse 23, actually. Jacob took his family and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the break of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And Jacob said to him, excuse me. And he said to him, so the angel guy, God, said to Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "No, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men, and you have prevailed." So this is a weird story. It's kind of confusing. This guy wrestling with Jacob is later explained to be God in a veiled human form, something like an angel. Some say a pre-incarnate Jesus, but it's definitely, this is a divine encounter. The point is, he's meeting with God. Where I believe this relates to today is that God took him out into the wilderness and said, it's time to get real. You're living a false life. Took him away from all the distractions of normal life. This said, he sent his whole family, all his possessions, all his stuff across the stream, and he got alone to wrestle with God. He got alone to get real with God. That's the whole reality we were talking about earlier. If you want to have a real encounter with God, you've got to get real with God. If you pretend it all together, God's got nothing to offer you. So he wrestles with God. And in that wrestling match, God says, what's your name? Now that is a question about his authentic soul. What's real about you? Back in those days, names carried a lot of weight, a lot more than nowadays. They really were an identity piece defining who you are, often, you know, bestowed upon you by your parents. Well, Jacob had a real wonderful entrance into the world as he was called Jacob, which means heel grasper, inferring a deceitful character, deceiver. So this is the whole wonderful, beautiful moment of welcome to the world, son. You are a deceiver. Go ahead and live up to that. And like most children, he lived into the identity that his parents bestowed upon him, and he became a very deceitful man. And he lived a life as a deceiver. He got riches as a deceiver. He prospered as a deceiver. But God saw him and said, come on, let's go. Let's get real. And I believe that had to be a very painful moment, a very authentically painful moment for him to be wrestling. And I'm going to imagine in the situation that he knows here, Jacob knows that something's going on. This isn't just about wrestling. There's something divine happening here. And so when this divine being says, hey, what's your identity? And he has a moment right there where he can hide it, he can run, he can say, forget about this, I'm letting you go. You notice he's the one that doesn't let go. He can go back anytime. He has that moment right there of, you know, who are you? What's your name? What are you all about? And Jacob, I would imagine him feeling this pain of, oh gosh, again, I got a deceiver. You know, am I going to let that out? Man, it feels better. I just going to forget about this. I'm going back across the river. At least it's comfortable back there. I don't have to deal with the reality of this identity of who I am, this dirty, I'm a deceiver. So there's no doubt the wrestling was not just with God, it's with himself. And he, if he wanted to have a real encounter with God, had to get real with God. Because God's going to ask you things in your life. He's not going to force you. Like we saw in Revelation 3, Jesus knocks at the door, says, can I come in? In the same way, he said, hey, who are you? He's giving Jacob the opportunity to be real, so that God can be his real source. And thankfully, Jacob takes him up on the offer, and he says, I'm Jacob. And we know what that entailed. And it's beautiful, because God's immediately like, no, you're not. That's not who you are in my eyes. That's not how I see you. That's not my destiny for you. Let's break that lie today. You're Israel. You're a man who strives after God. He would have never got that if he had walked back across the river, if he would stayed comfortable and said, God, don't go there. That's painful. Don't remind me of what I've done in my life, who I've been called, what my parents have said about me. Don't remind me of that. I'm going to stay comfortable. Just that's too much. If Jacob would have done that, he would have never received his true identity in the Lord. Kind of as joking as I said earlier, if you want to know the comforter, you've got to be willing to get uncomfortable. If you want to have your heart healed, you've got to let your heart be real. If you want to find out who the true strength is and have a true source of strength, let your soul reach down deep into the living water. It starts with that painful authenticity of admitting, I can't be the tree on my own. James in the book says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. If we are going to sit here prideful and saying, I got this together, God, I don't need your help, God's like, okay, see how you do for yourself. It is an absolute spiritual truth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. It's the people who are willing to say, I do not have it all together. I can't be this tree. I want to be this tree, but man, that heat is just too much for me. That drought overwhelmed me. God's like, cool, we're getting somewhere. What we're getting is we are taking ourselves off the throne of our hearts and preparing it, cleaning it, preparing it for a new king. To truly be our source in everything. Because we are not made to walk through life bearing bad fruit. That's one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible is John 15, 1 to 10, where it gives us these promises. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a very similar little agricultural analogy. You oath plants again. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Yeah, try to be a branch on your own and see how that works out for you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, abiding in me, remaining with me as your source, you will bear much fruit to the Father's glory. I love that awesome promise and invitation. You're made to bear good fruit. You're made to bear awesome fruit that you enjoy, that tastes good, that is tasty for you. It's like Jacob wasn't meant to walk around as deceiver. My friend I was talking to isn't made to walk around feeling lonely. Or we're not walk around meant to feel angry or anxious or depressed. If we never allow ourselves, though, the authenticity of this uncomfortableness, we're not going to know the true source and we're not going to know the comfort of God's presence. So I like to think of it as the opposite of how we're taught. We're taught to run away from these things. We're taught to run away from these feelings. We're taught to hide them, sweep them under the rug, distract yourself, cover it up. Well, if we do that, you're just going to remain with shallow roots, spiritual roots. Spiritual roots grow when you're real with God. And because we live in a broken world, a lot of that real with God has to be about the reality of where we're hurt, where we're broken, where we recognize we don't have it all together. But the good news is that when we feel those things, we're close to the solution. To feel your loneliness and to be real before God, you're close to finding God as your peace and your source. To feel your anger and be real with God is to be close to finding the love that you would need to cover over and heal. To feel your anxiety or depression and to bring it to God and sit with Him and wrestle and don't let go is to be close to finding joy. To feel these things raw and exposed is to be close to authentically giving them to God. It's so hard to get there, though. I am convinced that it's really hard to be authentic with God. A lot of life, even as Christians, is masked, is just a mask. It's we're doing stuff. It's so hard to get authentic because it's saying, I don't have it together. That's painful. That hurts. I need God. That checks our pride every day. And this is the beautiful thing, though, that God's inviting us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So God calls us to be wrestle, to be authentic, and to wrestle, and to keep wrestling. I love that passage in Genesis where Jacob is saying, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. God is honored by that. God is honored when we seek Him and we keep seeking Him. As Jeremiah 11 says, seek Him and we'll find Him when we seek Him with all of our heart. Jeremiah 9, 12 or 13. We will seek Him and we will find Him when we seek Him with all our hearts. God wants us to seek him. He wants us to not give up. Not this like one-time prayer. Okay, God, I'm angry, I'm depressed, I'm lonely. Fix it. That didn't work. Okay, something else. No, these are deep, deep spiritual soul matters that are going to take a journey. Now, I'm not trying to discount the power of God, that he can do incredible things, just mind-blowing, world-changing things in a moment of prayer. He does, and he will, and we pray for that, and we expect that. But as well, the Bible talks about perseverance, that we don't give up. We hold the promises of God out ahead of us, and we don't give up just because it hasn't come to pass today or tomorrow. So this is that wrestling. I think that's that metaphor of that image of Jacob wrestling, saying, I'm not letting go until you bless me, because I know what you've got. I know what you have, and it's what I need, so I'm not letting go. There's no other place I could go that would be the source that I need, so I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. And then you combine that with the reality that in Christ, as we've talked about earlier today, God's pursuing us with nothing but goodness. Or as Jesus said, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure. It makes God happy. You ever thought about that? God's happy to give you his kingdom. So when you combine that, God's heart of goodness, with your heart to seek and pursue and not give up, authentic relationship with God, where you can be that oak. It is by the river. Let those moments of painful authenticity be your soul reaching out to find God as your true source. To feel those things is to be very, very close to encountering God as your portion, as your joy, as your living water. Let's pray. We can have the band come up. I would like my wife to pray as well. God, I want to pray blessing on this church family. We thank you for the wonderful invitation in your word. You want us to be those oaks of righteousness that have green leaves all the time, that bear good fruit in all seasons, that have deep roots in the living water, and therefore laugh at the future. Laugh at the heat coming, not worried about the drought. This is not yet a full reality for any of us, God. But I thank you that this is the life with you that you're inviting us into. To truly, authentically, more and more have roots in you, encounter you, truly touch you. To touch the living God is to be changed. And I pray that more and more, Lord, your Holy Spirit would woo us and show us these truths. Whatever was spoken today that is true of your heart, I pray you would seal it on hearts. By the power of your Spirit, they would be unshakable truths that we could just go back to. That would be used as fuel in your hands, Lord, to draw us near to you. Make us into those oaks of righteousness that you have designed us and destined us to be. This is your doing, your design. We thank you for it. We know none of us are living in the fullness, so that's encouraging and exciting that there's more for all of us. Show us those ways, Lord, we need to get more real with you.
Jesus, I just thank you that as we pursue you to fill the places that only you can fill, God, I just thank you that you will bring abundant provision. I just kept feeling like I was hearing the Lord say, abundant provision. Provision. There are some places where maybe it's a struggle that you've had for a long time. Feelings that you've been running from for a long time. Whenever you feel them, you go on your phone, go to Facebook, whatever it is. I just feel like I'm sensing that there are some in here who have been drowning their sorrows and other things, and they're aware of it. And stopping that sounds really scary because it's a place that hurts. And I just feel like God, like Jesus is just gently saying, take my hand and go on this journey, and you will find the light of life, which is Him. And He will fill every portion of your soul where it feels dark and hopeless. And I feel like He's saying that He will provide abundantly and not to be scared. Jesus, I just thank You that You meet us in all of the places that are dark and dead and need resurrection. We thank You, Jesus, that Your promise is that the same Spirit that raised You from the dead is within us and is bringing new life in us daily. We thank You, Jesus, also that You're gentle and that You don't force these things upon us, but that You stand at the door and knock and You wait for us to open. And so, Lord, I just ask for the grace to open, for Your Holy Spirit just to touch places in everyone's heart, because we all do this, whether we're aware of it or not, just to touch places in our heart where we need more of You, where we need a deep drink of water, where we need healing, where we need Your wholeness. And I just thank You, Jesus, that You came to bring life and abundant life. And we as a church are taking You up on Your offer. We're grabbing Your hand and we're saying, yes, Daddy, do it again. Bring life again, more life.
I just feel like a phrase is coming to mind, and whether it's me or whether the Lord's given it, I don't know, I'll just throw it out there. I just feel like there's an invitation from God through His word this morning. It's just asking, in some ways, a simple question. How alive do you want to be? How alive do you want to be? We thank You, Lord, that You invite us into the abundant life. Fully alive in You. We pray You would continue to make us people of courage, to bring before You those areas that are still dead so that You can make them alive. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/weareelevation.